It's fine. Thank you so much. I appreciate her grace putting up with me, and would have absolutely no expectation to be recognized. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is, right? It's a joy to have been with you these couple of days. And how many of you already feel that you've been enriched and you're taking away something home? Good. Great. Well, in the last session, I want to speak to you about the subject of increasing or feeding your faith. This session will serve somewhat to provide some summary to some things we've chatted about last night and this morning, but it will also advance the whole idea of you becoming leaders that are walking and growing in faith. Charles Stanley said that faith does not increase by accident. I think we fall into the trap of thinking many things in our spiritual lives are just automatic. It's just on autopilot. And most of the time, that is a mistake. He goes on to say, growth takes time, dedication, and intentionality. And that is also true of the growth and development of our faith life. As we mentioned earlier this morning in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says that God has given to every one of us a certain amount of faith to begin with. The scripture actually reads like this: "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to what? The measure of faith that God has assigned." God has given each of us a measure of faith. The question is not whether or not you have any faith. The question is what you're going to do with the faith that God has given to you. I like this passage in Luke chapter 12 and verse 28. The scripture says, "But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" Once again, Jesus' word of admonishment and exhortation to each of us is feed your faith. Grow and develop the faith that is in you. Before I offer to you seven steps, and I figured if Pastor Tim can do it, I can too. Before I offer to you some seven steps to help increase your faith, I have been fascinated and amazed over the years at how adept we are and how business has thrived when it comes to taking care of ourselves. Whether it comes to food, whether it comes to physical exercise, whether it's nutrition, whether it's all kinds of routines, whether it's all kinds of exercise patterns, whether it's this program, this app, this device, or this new food, or lose weight with this, isn't it amazing the amount of money and effort and diligence that is spent on taking care of these physical bodies? I'm not against that. I think that's just wonderful. The amazing thing to me, though, is in spite of that effort, how little effort we assign to the development and the health of our inner life, our spirit life. And so based upon that, I just challenge you and exhort you today, give some consideration to what it will require for you as a leader to take yourself right where you're at now and to advance and increase your faith through the application of some of these ideas. I'm going to offer to you seven. Number one, and all of them start with the letter A just to keep it easy to remember. You ready for these? Number one, accept the fact that your faith must grow. I think we established that pretty clearly in the morning session. Accept the fact that your faith must grow. That is directly in opposition to many people who basically think that misconception is true, which is you're stuck with what you've got. You don't have to think about it. But actually we do. So you have to begin by accepting the fact, I must grow. There are a lot of Christians who come to Christ and that's the end of it. They have their eternal life insurance policies paid up. Their fire insurance is taken care of. They know that they have eternal life. And from there and on, they're just kind of on autopilot from there. And yet God is interested in us acknowledging, accepting that as fact. We must grow our faith, and all the more for leaders. Number two, acknowledge God's faithfulness. acknowledge God's faithfulness. Maybe one of the most encouraging things to me is when I'm struggling in my faith development, when I'm struggling to enhance and raise my faith level, sometimes I'm facing difficult times, and sometimes I'm facing tests, and sometimes I'm facing things where I'm basically like, I am done, I want to give this up. And the thing that always ignites and energizes me is to refocus and shift my focus over to God's faithfulness. The scripture reminds us in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, and can I redefine that word faithless? If we are lacking faith, if we are low on the faith scale, He, God, remains faithful. He can't deny Himself. Isn't that, that's pretty good news, isn't it? Because there are many times we feel like, gosh, man, I'm just not where I need to be in my faith. Just remember, and this is actually going to turn into a way to enhance and to grow your faith, is just remember to acknowledge and to remember that God is always faithful. Even when you are out of gas, He's still faithful. Even when we feel as though your faith level is at the lowest that it's been in years, He is still faithful. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's faithful. Yeah, even when we're faithless. Number three, acquire the Word of God. Acquire God's Word. Romans 10:17 is our pivotal scripture for this. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. What does that tell us? That tells us that my faith, that measure of faith that's on the inside of me, we establish that it's a fruit that grows today. That faith grows when I hear and I receive God's Word. This is true on a couple of levels. First of all, it is true when we have great intake of the Scripture. And we're reading and meditating and studying and memorizing the Scripture. The Word of God builds faith and raises our faith level on the inside. But in particular, this verse of Scripture is not using an original Greek word that has to do with the written text of Scripture. Maybe you've heard the words thrown about before, but there are two of several Greek words that are translated W-O-R-D in our English language. And one is the word logos, and one is the word rhema. Logos is a word that means the general Word of God, the general revelation of God. For example, that would might refer to the Scripture. Now, I would agree with you that reading the Word of God is only going to help my faith. I don't know that I've ever come out of time of really serious Bible reading and Bible study that I haven't felt my faith increased. But to be really accurate, in Romans 10:17, when Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit, he says, faith comes by hearing the rhema of God. You say, well, what is rhema? If the logos is the general Word of God, what is rhema? Rhema is a specific spoken word. When God speaks something to your spirit, man, how many of you ever noticed, when you know that it's God speaking to you, have you ever noticed that there's this inner responsiveness? It's almost like there's this leap on the inside of you. You're like, wow! And your faith, man, leaps and jumps and grows. Because why? Faith grows when you hear a rhema from God. There's a lot of different ways that we can hear God's rhema. We may hear it as we're reading Scripture. We may hear it as we're waiting in prayer before the Lord. Because the Spirit of God is still speaking today, amen? We can hear God's voice. And when we hear God speak to us, whether it's prophetically through someone else, whether it's through a worship service, whether it's through my own personal time of solitude, whether it's a friend or a neighbor giving me a word of encouragement, and it turns out to be a rhema for me at that moment, when you hear a rhema from God, faith comes. Faith is increased. Faith grows. So do everything you can to acquire the Word of God. Put yourself in the environment of hearing God's Word as much as you can. I'm sure many of you have experienced before and using some of the wonderful technological benefits that we have today. Just play the Word of God. I know a lot of us enjoy, and there's nothing wrong with all different kinds of enjoyable music and podcasts of different kinds. Try just a podcast of God's Word. And you will be amazed at how that there'll be something that you'll hear that'll spark more faith in your heart. So, number three, acquire God's Word. Number four, articulate the Word of faith. We spoke about the articulation or the confession of faith last night as being one of the four dimensions of faith. You might say, well, if that's what faith is, how does this contribute to my faith? Articulating the Word of faith, when you begin to put God's Word and what God has spoken to you in your mouth and you actually speak it, you are, by speaking it, increasing the faith. That will actually increase and feed your faith. The power of your words are amazing, and the difference they can make in your development of faith as a Christian or as a leader. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that what? Life and death are in what? Are in the power of the tongue. What we say makes more difference than we realize. And many times, what's coming out of our mouth is not increasing our faith, but many times it's destructive to our faith and to the faith of others. So be careful what you say, and put God's Word in your mouth and repeat the confession of God's Word. It will build your faith. It'll contribute to your faith, and it will also release your faith. I was in a meeting once, and it was in an environment that was fairly tense, and there was a law of the land at the time that I was ministering that said that you could not lay hands on people in that particular country. It was against the law, and there were people close by that would have arrested me based upon that. And so I remember being very frustrated by that. And I go, I really enjoy laying hands on people. I mean, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe that. So I'm kind of frustrated by it. And I remember saying, Lord, what do? I can't lay hands on people. And the Lord just spoke very clearly to me. He said, just speak the word. Just speak the word. And so I had the chance to pray for many, many people during that particular meeting. And I remember just almost literally, I had to tie my hands behind my back, because, habits are hard to break, So I just tied my hands behind my back. And I would just walk up to someone and I would just speak in the name of Jesus. Just speak words to them. Just speak commands over their body or over their mind or over their emotions, whatever it might be. And I walked away watching amazing miracles take place. And I thought, I never had to touch anybody. Just speaking the word, amazing release took place in my faith and the faith of others simply by articulating the word of faith. Number five, associate with others who have great faith. Pastor Tim was talking earlier about the different kinds of people that you can spend time with. And some are draining. And I've learned one thing in life, and that is I have a choice. Who I want to spend my time with. Yes, there's always ministry time. There's time that you're giving and investing and feeding and ministering to people. Sometimes you don't have a choice about who they are. Sometimes even the people that you lead who are being influenced by you, you didn't necessarily choose them. They're there by their own volition. But there's always people that you can choose to invest and spend your time with. And I found one thing to be true. If I find people who have a high level of faith in a certain area, and that's an area that I need to grow in, I just want to spend time with them. I give an example. Many of you may have heard of the ministry of the evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. And I think he's one of the most prolific, profound evangelists alive and ministering today. And his track record has been amazing. Every time I've had a chance to be around him in person, I mean, like, just watching him, observing him, and being with him in meetings or hosting him in a meeting or whatever it might be. I just walk away, and he's an evangelist. I mean, he lives, breathes, sleeps, and eats lost souls. That's all he thinks about. And And I'm not an evangelist. And so as a result, I'm like, that's an area I'm always trying to pump up. You know, I'm always trying to raise my level of heart and passion for the lost and for the and those that know Christ and for evangelism. And so you say, well, how do you do that? I just try to get around an evangelist. I just go spend time around an evangelist who's really a firebrand evangelist. Let me guarantee you, Reinhard Bonnke is just that. And I just get around him a little bit. And man, by the time I'm done, I may have spent a couple of hours around him. I walk away and go, wow, man, I'm just like, just my level of faith for souls just had major increase in downloads because of the association. It's true. We do become like people we spend time with, don't we? And many times we make the wrong choices. And sometimes we hang out with certain people because we feel a level of obligation. But in the big picture of things, particularly I'm speaking to leaders now, you need to make sure that you balance out the time that you spend with certain kinds of people. And make sure you're investing time and associating with people that are going to lift you to a higher level, that are going to take you to a new place of effectiveness. If you want to be a better leader, find some good model leaders, spend time and associate with them, and you'll learn a lot about leadership. If it's some other area that you want to grow and develop in, find people who model and exemplify that and spend time associating with them. Romans chapter 1 and verse 12 says, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paul was saying, I'm encouraged by the faith of the Roman church. He said, your faith just encouraged me. It inspires me. And you know, there's certain people, honestly, in ministry that many of them I have responsibilities for overall in a pastoral situation or overseeing a network of people. And honestly, there are people who I can only handle certain amounts. Why y'all look at me so strange? I can only handle a certain amount of association time, and I know that. And as lovingly and as carefully and compassionately as I can, still fulfilling my responsibilities, I want to make sure that I don't drain my tank by always spending time with him. Because there are certain people who will demand it of you. And there are certain people that would expect it of you. And you have to be very, very careful to always make sure you're spending time associating with people that are going to raise your faith level, not deplete it. How many of you, be honest with me for a moment, would you? How many of you know people that deplete your faith? Do you know anybody like that? How many of you know someone that might be able to lift your faith if you spent more time with them? Be intentional about associating with those. Number six, act on the faith you have today. And we talked before this morning about, last night we talked about the seizing, the action side of faith. This morning we talked about the fact that faith needs to grow. Now we're talking about developing your faith. A very important aspect of growing your faith is acting on what you have. So in other words, in the illustration of faith as a dollar, a dollar being maximum, 100% totally developed faith, all right? Mountain, we'll call it mega faith or mountain moving faith. So if you're at a place that you have, you know, 40 cents of faith, if you begin to use the 40 cents of faith that you have, every time you use it and you see things happen and you see God honor it and you see good results, what do you think is going to happen to that 40 cents? It's going to grow. You're going to get dividends off of it. You're going to gain interest off of it. And every time, next thing you know, next time you find that crisis, you're going to find yourself at 50 cents. And next time you use the faith in another area, you're going to find yourself growing some more. And so acting and putting into practice the faith level that you have, whatever area it might be in, will only serve to enhance and grow your faith for the next opportunity that God gives to you. I like to literally think of faith like my inner faith man, like a muscle, because it follows the principles of developing muscles. When I was 10 years old, I ended up with a kidney disease, diagnosed. I wasn't fully aware of the whole story from the medical professionals at the time. I was too young. My parents withheld the information. But what I didn't know at the time was that I was sent home to die with a serious kidney disease. There was no answer for it at that time. And I found it strange when my parents told me that I wasn't able to go to school anymore and I was going to have to stay on my back in bed. I was literally bed confined to a bed for 1 year. And a lot of interesting things happened during that year, weren't thrown important at this point. But what was interesting is that the Lord healed me. Praise God for that. The Lord touched me and healed me. The doctors had no answer. They just said bed rest, do this. Lots of liquids and bed rest, and we don't have any other answers. Took a year, and the Lord healed me. And the test proved that I was healed. And so the doctors gave me clearance to begin to get up out of bed. Let me just tell you, this 10-year-old boy, after 12 months in bed, getting up for the first time, I had no clue. I had never thought about the effect on my muscles. And the moment that I got up out of bed to walk, what do you think happened?
Fell
to the ground. I'm like, oh no, I'm paralyzed for life. You know, I'm like, oh no. Something really more serious is happening there. And then it was explained to me, oh no, no, your muscles have essentially atrophied over time. Because of what? Lack of use. Atrophy is the result in our muscles from the lack of use. How many of you think there might be a pretty good correlation with faith? There's a book written, who was it, by Roy Hicks Jr. years ago called Faith, Use It or Lose It. Do I remember right, Pastor Tim? Use it or lose it. In other words, it's like a muscle. If you don't use your faith muscles regularly, what's going to happen? You're going to lose that ability to lift things and to do things. I like the analogy because a muscle, the greater your muscle is, the more you can lift, the more that you can accomplish with that muscle. So muscles have to be exercised and used. And part of the way we do that is by acting on the faith that we have. James 2 tells us in verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Faith without action, without corresponding action, is dormant. One more point. One more way that you can develop and increase your faith. Activate your faith. Activate your faith. How? By praying in the Spirit. Now, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:15, he's speaking of his own personal devotional life. He said, for me, he said, I want all of you to pray in tongues. He said, for me, I pray with my spirit, I pray with my understanding, my mind, and I pray with my spirit. There are times that I pray with my understanding and my known language, and I'm praying for the things that are on my prayer list, and I pray according to that. But then there are times I shift gears and I just pray in the spirit, because Romans 8 tells us that we don't always know how to pray, right? And by praying in the Spirit, I know that I'm praying what? The mind and the will of God. So I pray in the Spirit. I pray with my understanding. But there's one aspect of praying in the Spirit that maybe you've never considered. Look at verse 20 of the book of Jude. And by the way, Jude gets very little attention. Don't you ever feel sorry for Jude? All right, so Jude verse 20, just to make sure we give him some attention today, says this. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. The word building up there means to build a house, to edify, or to build up like a house is being built. Building yourselves up in your faith. You get it? In your faith life. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. There is a correlation and a relationship between praying in the Spirit and your faith level. And a lot of people never make that connection. I'll just tell you for personal experience, I know a lot of other people, I could tell you stories about them as well. But if there's an issue or an opportunity where I know that I'm going to need to have heightened faith, in other words, it's going to be all my faith hands on deck. Every faith muscle I have is going to need to be used. I'm confronting this. I know I'm walking into this, or I'm in a situation where I'm in need of more faith muscle. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to start praying in the Spirit. And when I say pray in the Spirit, I don't mean a 15-second prayer in the Spirit. Some of you haven't prayed in the Spirit more than 1 minute for forever. It's been a long time. Try. Put a timer on it. Just start praying in the Spirit. And pray continually in the Spirit for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, and then try to increase it a little bit every day. And you know what you're going to find? Amazing things are going to start to happen. Revelations are going to begin to flow like they haven't flowed before. The way you look at God's written word is going to change like you haven't noticed it before. Because literally, this is what's happening based on Jude chapter 20. We have an inner faith man, right? We have that faith man, muscular or atrophied, whatever he may be at that moment, all right? When you pray in the Spirit, it is like your faith man doing exercises. It's like your faith man doing exercises, jogging, doing calisthenics. Your faith muscles are being built as you pray in the Spirit, just as your faith man is being fed and developed by all of these seven different ways. So try it out. I challenge you. Try to activate your faith by praying in the Spirit. In the summer of 1972, after just graduating from high school, I was found myself down in Brazil visiting my sister and brother-in-law who were missionaries in Brazil. That was my graduation, high school graduation present. Little did I know that having only been baptized in the Holy Spirit for 1 year at that particular point, man, I mean, I was switched on for God. I mean, I was consuming the Word of God. I was reading everything I could put my hands on. I was experiencing more of Jesus every day in my life. And I had a great hunger and thirst that couldn't be filled. As I found myself in the jungles of Brazil, God spoke to me. His word, his rhema came to me and told me that the direction that my life was headed, speaking career-wise and college-wise, was not within his plans. It was my plan, and it was a very well-planned-out agenda, I guarantee you that. The Lord said, I didn't author that. That's not what I've called you to do. And I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, tell me. And the Lord spoke to me that day and called me into full-time vocational ministry. And I immediately went home and changed the whole plan. The whole trajectory of my life changed within 90 days. And instead of going to college where I was going to go to university, instead of accepting the scholarship that was offered to me, I changed. And within 6 months of that time, unusual, rare occurrence of this, but within 6 months, I was in full-time ministry. And I learned something through ministry life. And that is that my faith has needed to continue to grow. What got started from the time that I was 5 years old as a little Baptist boy that took Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, and that starter of faith for many, many years stayed level. And even after coming to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and even after receiving a full-time call into ministry, and after spending almost 44 years in full-time ministry, there have been many peaks and many valleys and many times of faith crises that I've gone through where I felt like my faith was severely tested. How many of you have been there? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But at the end of the day, we have to see this as a journey of faith that we're traveling. And we have to continue to develop and feed and strengthen this inner faith man with our faith muscles so that, not so that we can be, it's all about us. Look how strong we are. Look at us. We're mighty men and women of faith. It's not about that at all. It's not about our reputation. It's not about some ambition that you have to be something or do something. It's a matter of being used by God to make a difference in this fallen world. And faith is a requirement to do that. Would you allow me to pray with you right now? I know you're going to have a discussion application around your table, but I just want to pray for your faith muscles right now. Can you do that with me? If you can acknowledge today and say, Lord, I need my faith activated. I need an impartation of something that will help to stimulate my faith development. Would you just raise your hand and say, Lord, include me in this prayer? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you're the author of our faith. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't have faith. And we thank you that as your grace came into our lives at different points, whether it was a year ago or whether it was 20 years ago, Lord, we want to continue to see our faith grown and increased and strengthened. And even today, right now, as I pray, as I know, Lord, we've shared several different ways that we can increase our faith. And I pray that that these leaders will take it and apply it and use that in their life. But I'm praying right now for a supernatural wind of your spirit to breathe upon each of these individuals and just to fill us afresh by your spirit. And I pray, Lord, for the spirit of faith to be imparted. I pray, Lord, even now that there'd be a rejuvenation and a re-stimulation and an activation and a re-energizing of even faith muscles that have been sitting unused for months and months and maybe years. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be patient, Lord, with us and that you'd help us and to strengthen our faith muscles because, Lord, we want to use them to push against the powers of darkness. We want to use our faith muscles, Lord, to make a difference in the lives of people in this community, in this county, and around the world. Lord, I pray that our faith muscles will be so reactivated today that we'll be able to rise up and walk and run and fly because of what you're doing on the inside of us. Lord, we look to you as the author and the completer of our faith, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you give Jesus a hand clap? Praise God.